basic education, I'm going to add a student for the children committee, introduce yourself and the team, so that members from both committees can understand the role we teach here. Before we give to the department to present, I'm going to request my services here in terms of before you move, and then over to the presentation. Yes. Thank you.
to the Fund Committee to raise it for not much next year. Fourthly, this method is present to make you introduce this operation to keep the money, which is also a help. Because last year, operation education operation Akifa, education ICT operation Akifa was launched. That has helped a lot because it deals with all the elements which help to improve everything. It deals primarily with connectivity, what issues they have. It deals with key level development between the people with different capacity. It deals also with content development, because we need content to go through the pipeline. And it deals with the device to support the internet. So this is quite a integrated approach to improve the situation, and we are running the Department of Education to make sure that cooperation starting from for the coordinated reform and we really think that it will really help the protocols, the subaction connect rollout, and they are in the debt as we also contribute to that. We also are aware of the financial constraints which is there, not to actually think that the people may want to do that or to start. But they fear the definition and we're going to benefit from this fund. Last is just from our side. Last year, Brian, we also did some of the clients. One of the key challenges we are seeing now is that we are trying to affect the school pipeline, especially the construction of the equipment, the care of the devices. The discussion of the infrastructure. And sometimes in certain areas, there seems to be organized. That's why I'm thinking for these things and investigation. For the calling of communities, because this is when communities are really to be discussed and we should find. It's quite sad that the teachers have to take this topic. They can't even use those topics in that wrong. And they have to take it to central storage stages, which means those students, when they have to, then those are things that actually can't have access to the daily but it also poses a risk to those teachers who don't use this type of thing. And we hope that there should be a way for that school there.
I'll give over to this new colleague to keep some remarks and then not to share the vision analysis of how they will complete that and what you can have the decisions that I think. Because you are the most in the world, so I give you the decisions they will have. I know that the goal is to choose the first department, but I'm thinking that you are leading the two departments now. So then you guys each other for the presentation going. So if you are then on my question.
Departments of Telecommunication and Postal Services and Basic Education.
certain good to the public is coming from. I know I said but I think I like what the education that the people do as well, so that it could be from both sides of the community know who you are. And share that with both your presence. I have the feeling because I was in community education, so I know what I was doing there, and I don't work for the community. So, but they are teachers, and I don't know the new ones as well. So, when colleagues can take it, they're not teachers.
Good morning, my name is Nico Mobey, and the DDD for Infrastructure Report is the Department of Telecommunications and Telecommunications. As we can see, the presentation has also been used in the chief of the civil plan to prevent the money from the discussions that we had in the committee. In 2014, we looked at the brief in terms of the project. And what we got from that meeting is the committee was prepared in terms of the approach of the taking event and the opinion from the presentation that we made that when we approach was to the mandate. And we went next after that committee we established a presentation of the committee that we presented today, the direct meeting, making it together, trying to improve the third challenge that we made in the committee. So in terms of the structure of the presentation, we will certainly highlight the issues of the concerns that the committee and how we can try to address those and also report back on the current data that is also in the team. Also going forward, we also this committee in terms of the future plans to be able to support the board on the development of communication, which is very important. The sense of the issues that are raised in the previous meeting, the issue of the lack of climate from the board, going back and revise the approach in terms of the cities, where we clarify the board, we're going to detail the line. And also the lack of core machines, and we mentioned the structure of the day, for the education forum, the very committee. And also the other issue is to follow up my approach. Approach, I believe. devices, applications, content, other things, same or the that doesn't the BT or the social education. Then other people as a BT or the education as well, and then deploy the public obligations to enforce the obligation, to set the standard and all the people that people came from. You start out in the public, you do the public fund to ensure that the regime. Most of the people in Uganda is aware of the protocol. Women is continuing to grow their corporate social investment. Private sector will provide means and networks to send the citizens on the so that's how we have years of contributions around the country for that. The key one is the contributions that fall in the cabinet, two departments in terms of public, and the whole day to take all that within the in terms of the fact that we've established the education minister policy program, which is the education education, health, the steering committee from all the departments. There is a process of engaging the team between the Department of Education and the Education Services, where we regularly to review issues and also argue the things going forward. And also the provincial steering committee, that will bring in the provincial stakeholders and departments, because they're very good to tell the information of challenges. And in terms of the standard for in particular for devices of the policy, CASA has published a document and then the programs. It is the normal basis for the level of publication. It gives the number of the kind of hardware that should be provided for policy in terms of the speed. And forward also self-analyze in the work that we can do for next, and also what in terms of training and quality of life to be required. So that's a very good thing the real change for that. And also that we clarify the problem for the GCs for all the people that are there. Although this event was mainly made from the level of issues that we call the in order to ensure that it's expanded to all countries and going forward, the value of the education is making on ESG guidelines that will take into consideration to carry from the 2004 and that will be then have a global requirement to do this for the then in terms of the pillars of the government of the capacity of the internet, we went back to look at the number of schools that are affected within the report and the administration. We've got about 40% of the children of the actual schools currently across our home community. And because this is the story, it's also a good cover for those that are recognized and coaching in the community that the program is going to continue to be an effort of the day, the government provided, so that the money the collectivity is being used, they were also focused on the collectivity that you for teaching them, including the collectivity that for the education part is much more high in the collectivity just support the administration in order to cope for the changes and communication between the families and schools. So in terms of that, most of the schools are collectively raised
Able to get that money back to their last consumer, which is
Thank you.
policy. The what I'm going to achieve my name is Luis Cavani. I'm the Community Director for NHS Academic and Programs for the ICT Education Plan. Thank you very much. I'll be touching on three things. The first one is the work we are doing with the actually preparing our teachers to embrace technology and implementing ICT into their teaching practice. And I'll also be speaking to the issues of the work that we've done with regards to development of digital funding. And the last one has to be on the data of operation practice and the broadcast solution, how we look at leveraging broadcasting and education to deliver the curriculum. We had a partnership with Vodafone, have established about 149 teacher centers, and out of the 149, each one of them are fully connected, and work is in progress to ensure that the rest are connected as well. And in the breakdown of the teacher centers, and the 110 of them for teachers, and as I indicated, those who are connected to each one of the teacher centers, about a program 118, and those with access to emails, and those that are key functional at the table. And this is a current state that we acknowledge the fact that our teachers are still at very low level of ICT functions, and that the evaluation from the conducted reflected that 96% of our teachers have correct state skill in ICT, while those who are at key candidate level are only 7% and that the level of the needs to be done in this area. This is the digital development plan for the ICT and digital development plan. We then have on those actionable access, optimal use of ICT, building more capacity, growing evidence base, and developing guidelines and norms and standards. So with regards to access relevant ICT resources for teachers, we are doing this in partnership with various players who are putting the work in the game. And I with regards to those that you are using around the issue of libraries, mobile apps, education, cloud solutions across parts, the relation to the platforms, UNICEF, Microsoft, Huawei, and Mindset. And we also have 36 teacher centers that have ICT resources, and that we have programs that are running that have been developed. But we need to ensure that our teachers are properly capacitated to be able to utilize ICT. 50 teacher centers at Microsoft ICT Academy, the technical academies, and these are some of the programs that are running in those centers with those partners. I will not go through each one of them one by one. Some of the teachers were training and then preparation. Because ICT only not well developed, teachers must be able to use technology to work on that. And I have the need for young teachers who have been pushed on this program in partnership with UNICEF and Paper Video. We have developed long-term plans and they've been highlighted and they are ready for approval by the senior management. We have also teacher self-diagnostic assessment. That we have developed in partnership with PSL and UNICEF and the British Council. I mentioned that teachers have gone through the assessment process. And this process on this exercise is exclusively confidential. So the teacher is this to encourage them to participate in this exercise. The latest in the particular are not revealed, but it gives the teacher feedback with regard to the level of which they are and encourages them to improve their skills in those areas that the diagnostic tool has identified their area of weakness. These are some of the initiatives that we have embarked on to accelerate training of teachers in ICT, and we are doing this work with Intel, and through this program we provide training to 1,773 teachers from the group of concepts who's in the ACDC. And these teachers come from all our provinces, just talking in the consulting and Western team are quite advanced in our doing remarkable work in this regard. We are supporting those provinces that are lagging behind. Through the national institutional law, we have managed to include the category to recognize the work of teachers who are integrating ICT into their teaching and learning. And on Saturday, there was one this winner who went away to the award where the work is recognized for teachers who are using ICT to deliver their learning. I think that to work done on electronic content or digital content development and how we distribute it. We categorize digital resources into three. How the interactive workbooks, we make them digital and they are interactive, as we indicate there. We also have digital textbooks and workbooks. These are actually in PDF form. And we also have other resources, the open education resources, and we get from our partner from the industry. These are some of the digital materials that we have developed between 2014 and 2015, focusing on grade 1, the web down from grade 1 up to grade R up to grade 4, in the research digital language, there's two books, the 1 and book 2. We also have research in Africa for term 1 and term 2. In terms of open education process, we have a number of resources that we get from our partner, Khan Academy, Glasgow, Orgeto, MindGap. These are the resources that are planned for those grades and for those subjects. Some are videos, some are worksheets, some are career guidance sheets. And moving forward, we intend to develop the following text and web books for the following grades, indeed, that there is a 10, 12, the 1 to 3 universities, just here, like, even in the timeline that we have seen today. There. So this is the work that we'll be working on and the target that we have set for ourselves in the next few years. We have 784 digital content texts on different subjects and grades distributed to student managers and 5 school library books. Not only are we supporting the teachers, but we're also supporting the managers, managers and district managers in making the product. They can properly support the teachers, they themselves do not left behind. In terms of challenges for our content development, and the survey I think is correct, we say there's insufficient funding currently to do all the work that we'd like to do. However, we're also looking at alternative sources of funding. Some of them is working in partnerships with industry to assist us to develop some of the materials. The level of advocacy and mediation of the digital content, most of the teachers, they are still using text. So we have digital materials, so we still need to raise a lot of awareness to the teachers. They might be aware that they develop all the materials that are in the education. One way of distributing content is through the broadcast solution. And currently, we don't have a national comprehensive approach to broadcasting. We've got a number of modalities in terms of how broadcasting is utilized to deliver lessons. The Western Cape is using the telematics in partnership with the Bellevue University. The Free State is using the internet broadcast program or called the AIDP, and they are using it in partnership with the Free State University. And the DBE itself in partnership with Play Call Digital Mindset. We are broadcasting and recorded lessons on a platform provided by the Play Call. We are broadcasting this on open air and view and the definition channel. And we also using with multi-choice as well to deliver progress made with regard to the work we do with Play Talk and Mindset. The channel has been broadcasting since we left the portfolio committee in 2014. So we also have, and this channel supports the 7-12 language, mathematics, science, and other gateway subjects. There are challenges. And the mitigation steps that we're taking, the level of broadcast in content for some of the subjects, and that we need to work with SABC and our partners to ensure that we develop this broadcasting material. DBE does not own this broadcast platform, but it is owned by Bitcoin and hosted by Bitcoin, and we are using mindset that she has, our wish is that one day we should have our own broadcast channel that is owned by DBT. And we can go through the process to develop the national framework for broadcasting solutions for schools. She said this from strategic meetings that we held in public mindset and matrix and identity. As I said, these are some of the lead players in this space to develop additional framework that will guide how broadcast can be leveraged to ensure that we deliver our end. And in closing, just in brief, the state of Operation Matrix, our broadcast members through the process itself. As I assume that they are briefed on this. However, the operation activity you mentioned in detail, implementation plan with your contact, and we had about 120 participants taking part in this exercise. They came from various sectors, from industry, from academia. We had five national departments that were there for the 4 weeks, DST, DCPS, communications, higher education, and national treasury. And they committed their officials to that process, and all nine provincial education departments were there. We had telephones. Some of them are here, Carlos Tecna, and Union 2 participated in this exercise. The aim, as I indicated, was to develop a strategic and senior rollout plan for the Dubai of Canada and ICT. You mentioned what we call 10 initiatives we had to do through 5 work streams. And the 5 work streams were informed by the 5 pillars that were widely considered. The phase is we have to crack ICT rollout in education. We need to pay attention to 5 things. 1, the connectivity, 2, digital development, 3, digital knowledge, 4, e-administration, and 5 is about the devices and infrastructure that comes in all this. And out of these 5 pillars, we imagine with about 10 initiatives that focus on all the things that we have mentioned there. We said if we can start with these things, we will be able to deliver on our market. And this is just presented in a tabular form, each of the initiatives, and what is the focus area for each, and what is it that we want to achieve out of each of those initiatives. Now, after all these were presented to several of them, after the Operation Matita, several of them appreciated the presentation, and they then said again that they feel that the plan needs to be set up in advance to ensure that we start with the rolling through, working within our current allocation, and then grow you from the aging approach. And that we're going to know that we must start with the schools with the learners with special education needs, and that we must also focus on the math grade schools because they are the schools that are covering and are not receiving attention at all. And since then, we have developed what we call a framework for ICT implementation that emanates from the DG plan from Operation Matita. The activities are broken down in short-term, mid-term, and long-term. And these have been shared with the different departments, and they are making further inputs on what that we should be doing in the short-term, in the mid-term, and in the long-term. And the DG has convened a meeting of the Director General of all affected departments who have committed to support the output of Operation Matita. And the plan of Operation Matita is implication for a number of departments that are indicated. That is just one of the examples. To say with regards to the Department of Communication, that there are activities that the Department of Culture and Technology must support upon, and the website must be done by the CASA, any CASA, and all other sister departments that we mentioned. We just published this for the purpose of this presentation that we don't go in much detail. But we are at a point where the framework is going through the internal approval between the department, the senior management has said again directly that various branches must look at this and make their final approval as they should then be taken to Lecom and Triple M and CDM for their final approval. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Just to Lecom stands for Head of Education Committee, C then Council of Education Minister. The Lecom Chair, the C and the Chair.
Before we take the presentation from the Department of Education and Housing, we have requested the FAFSA to be here. We have requested the CASA to be here. This is here because they are roles that they play in the process. Firstly, the CASA is around the issue of regulation, and I see the COO is here with us. Maybe just introduce the COO and then just was. I see there are issues that are reflected. I don't know whether you want to do something before we get into the question. Time will come. We know we want just not to come into the organization. So I'm going to start up. But the letter that are reflected, I don't know if you want to just say a few words before we move on.
And you know, I'll just ask my colleagues to say one or two things.
I think my research is just affirmed the presentation that has been made. We did have input into it, and we are aware of the issues, or if the major issue which relates to the legal obligation as set out by CACA and the 3 months that are taken in the 3 months. In that respect, I think the only comment that I would make is that in terms of that purpose, the government's 5 months has been taken care of. The only thing that is left is for us to deal with the issue of the funding of that connectivity. So in principle, if ACA doesn't have an issue from a government perspective to carry that connectivity, the funds to do that is where the issue is.
Thank you very much. We'll come back as well as another little bit. We'll come back to the discussion and questions when we engage with the presentation. Welcome to Mr. Al-Shahi and Mr. Holly for the Department of Education and Housing. Sorry, you will start by introducing your letters, call your name, and when you present your state of education, please make sure to see. Good morning,
My name is Arthur Chen, I'm the Deputy Director General for Education Policy and Planning. But he is the Chief Director of Ethics Army, who is responsible for the implementation of the ICT strategy in the department. Chair, just as a guidance, how many minutes? I've got many slides that I can talk about that.
If you can just manage, let me know if you can do nothing for your attention. 10 minutes would appreciate.
But also that it was a way of using the digital device, but also dealing province, we've got 10 projects that we should be forward as provincial plan. Everything from curriculum development, analysis was ICT in education. And why is it important for us? ICT is not itself the solution. It is a means towards the solution. And therefore, it basically underpins the first four around curriculum development, teacher provisioning, and support. But in this problem, it's okay. And what we looked at was essentially six key levers in the United. One was in some people, connectivity. If we got the connectivity right, we would be able to distribute content and learning in a much bigger way than what we currently have. Two is content, that there's a need for really sophisticated content that can be transmitted across the network. The capacity of teachers, the third element, is to train and retrain. And then infrastructure, and then support to make sure it works, and then innovation, essentially to ensure that we deal with a range of challenges that face us in the solution process. So I'll skip some slides as we move along. We looked at four sort of typical models of ICT delivery in our thinking. The one is Windows Tech, and very few of our schools use overhead projectors and so on, and that would be minimal tech. But a large number of our schools don't even have this kind of resources. The second model we look at is what is called tech enabled. That means a really sophisticated classroom that's enabled for more effective teachers than any time before. And then the third one is blended learning. And blended learning is there is a combination of high-level teaching and facilitated learning. The example would be if a learner is actually learning, let's say, a geometric concept and is online assessment. The online assessment will basically tell this learner is not coping, you can see the additional bar. This learner is coping, advance into this level. And so blended learning will allow within the time available to deal with some sort of diverse of different needs. And then the last one is what is called ready for transformation, and that is something where it's highly individualized and computer driven. And so when we look at a lot of this, we kind of look at that our aspiration would be blended learning. It won't be what we can afford now because it requires a lot of infrastructure. And so what we need to deal with was what we call the tech-enabled classroom. And the tech-enabled classroom contains that we need some level of connectivity, we need electronic boards, we need learners with tablets, we need teachers with and that essentially doesn't mean that we don't move towards blended learning, but with blended learning we need to then create very sophisticated learning portals, we want to have very sophisticated education content, and then we see as a medium to long-term projection. But in the short term, we need to move to the tech-enabled environment. What we then did in the tech-enabled environment is we took the first conscious decision that we will not use PDF texts as an example. That the textbooks will have to be EPUB, which means they become EDX. So if there is a photograph of a science experiment in a normal textbook in an EPUB, it will actually be either a video or a simulation. And so in a way we started to get the industry to start shifting towards more EPUB content than the standard content. So when we looked at it, there were four enablers that we put into play. One was E-Lessons. And E-Lessons was simply the National Department of Basic Education has developed a whole range of lesson plans for almost every single grade across the curriculum. What we need is then to modify these lesson plans to then incorporate the use of ICT in the classroom. And we then produce all the necessary videos and simulations, presentations, and stages from the a mini team around the topics that they had been taught. And then we look at assessment, and this one we're lagging behind, but it does require us to develop much more sophisticated
in line with the overall education strategy that if we get assessment standards right in schools, then the standards in comprehensive such as the music increment and so on would basically be something that is preventative over time. That's a clear understanding that if every teacher teaches what is required and gets at the right level and standardized level, then we can guarantee some level of quality across all the schools. And then we look at the issue of devices and lesson delivery and learners being able to connect. At the moment, on the tablet that you've given learners, they have access to the internet between 5 in the morning and 9 at night. So it's a very constrained period, so that it's not going late into the night, sleeping and doing our own things. So we're keeping it, in a sense, within an education day or an extended. And then obviously, we started going to the teachers, initially we had a laptop for a classroom, and then basically have started looking at other issues. And then obviously, training. And one of the reasons that we decided on the training is that it could be very easy to teach and train a teacher to use a laptop and project a presentation. But we thought that was going to be a very important way of getting teachers to relook at the content that they are responsible for. And so, you know, because the format of the content has changed, it gave us an opportunity to refresh the content knowledge of teachers in the process. And so the teacher training strategy is not only get them to use laptops and smart boards, but it also gets them to relook at content in a different context. And then obviously the learning evaluation, to counter the fact that you don't have electronic systems, you introduce a system of common exams across a number of things. They are set centrally, and all the schools then have to administer those exams. So that's where you're trying to standardize the practice across the schools. It's important that I would just need to make sure that this curriculum is delivered according to milestones, so they don't get to the doing exam and say things out of context. So we monitor that content delivery continuity. I've put in a lot of time for background, so I will skip a lot of that. The overall approach that we have taken in Hawking is that we needed to target 39,000 teachers in total, 2,046 schools. Teachers would have to facilitate learning at different paces in line with the CAP requirements. So everything was combined, and to a large extent, we knew that technology could not be seen as a result of it. It does require to invest a lot of time and effort into ensuring that it does get embedded in the teaching practice. So some of the key assumptions that we made is that in Hawking, it is primarily a appropriate intervention at this point. We are targeting only schools, and what we're hoping to do in the ultimate model in the next 2 to 3 years is to set up the portal environment. The third that I've coined is plug and learn, like we have plug and play. So as long as you've got a device in your school environment, you should be able to plug into a local area network and download materials or interactive content as a learner or a teacher. So for local schools, we're providing the end-to-end solution. And then in Quintal 4 and 5 schools, you basically conceptualize and bring your own device. So you can be invited and send your child to school, we'll provide the content and the learning environment. And that means that we will provide the content platform and the content itself, and we will also provide the training and on-site support. Currently, our connectivity is provided by what's called the Hawking Broadband Network, which is how just starting the rollout. And in our initial pilot phase, we did get support from Centec, from USAPA, and other agencies. But it's not in a very sort of clear, very basic environment that we can build dependencies on those kinds of relationships. In some ways, it was more like all the social investment where it shouldn't have been, and so we needed to formalize. What we also made sure that in our model was that we didn't want to leave behind the school administration and the analysts. So the fairness and views of that. So we looked into the fairness project and climate intervention, structural intervention for data driven districts, which is about analytics around school, and we kind of brought all of that into meeting today. We initially rolled out into seven schools, and in the seven schools, we did work for an end-to-end solution. Every single classroom was recognized. We provided two smart boards, LED boards. We basically refurbished every single school, and maybe that's what I didn't indicate earlier on. Part of our strategy on introducing ICT in schools is also to meet the national norms and standards for school infrastructure. So when you refurbish a school, it's in line with the norms and standards. And in that way, we basically modernizing the classroom by also bringing it in compliance with the norms and standards. And so to a large extent, we focus on seven schools, and maybe just to take you to the next one, we launched in January 2015, we have 7,000 learners. We provided connectors. We actually brought broadband to every single school from the housing broadband network. We provided devices, provision of content, security and device management solutions, professional development, and maintenance support. We created something called a Heliwala Container School, and it's a service container school using unemployed youth that we have trained to support teachers and learners to make sure that the devices are always connected and then the classrooms are online. Mm-hmm. In total, in that space, we had delivered 241 tablets, laptops to teachers, 5,589 tablets to learners, people to download to all the tablets, laptops and tablets together, the tablets completed, 200 classrooms were completed, 7 schools were connected to broadband, right at the department of e-government broadband, redundancies in that we had a backup, and that was provided by telephone and standard. And all the tablets were provided with connectivity using an ATM. So we bought Sunga with the data, and every learner was referred onto this ATM, which is like a virtual private network, just for the learners, able to get in there at 5, stop at 9 at night. We learned a lot during this space. I think the whole issue around implementation, there were lots of things that we had not thought about in our plan phase, and we had to fix it up on the go. And I think I'll give them more detailed project. And I think the most important thing is when we interviewed in our evaluation of the problems, we found positive results. One of the big things that we experienced in those schools, the seven schools, teachers came earlier to prepare when they left late. Learners arrived on time. There was no green home early. They stayed in school because of connectivity and interaction. And what we found is that the environment in the school became much more conducive towards learning. And I think to a large extent we found that teachers were also starting to overcome a lot of the fear of using technology. In a previous sort of project that we ran in Kaohsiung or Kaohsiung Online, one of the biggest inhibitors to the project actually taking hold in schools was the fear of technology, like principals and staff saying, we don't want to account for this. And in this way, we had to basically deal with that and we had to get into the problem. So we made parents and learners sign for the tablet rather than the school signing for the tablet. And in this way, we knew we could get out and not be kept involved. Phase two, which was towards the middle of the year, we then decided to roll up to all grade 12 classrooms in Milton. There were 375 grades. And we then had to refurbish all the three classes. So the way we deal with refurbishment, each year that we introduce in a grade, those classrooms get refurbished. So in a 3 to 4 year period, the entire school is changed. And when we deal with it, we also deal with toilets and other environmental issues. And so we also then added on and said that while we deal with grade by grade, we then also indicate to schools that in some, even if you are 100% confident, you will get a full solution. And in a way, you start to incentivize the system and also shift it towards some kind of mandate to get a full solution. And in that process, we identify 3 new schools, and in the process of moving those 3 new schools to the complete solution. time now, for the first time, a way of compensating for the lack of connectivity, we now had to buy a mini server that went onto the board. And so every classroom has now got a content server rather than a single environment basically driven by connectivity. And then once again, all the services are provided with the APM solution. The phase of the stresses was we brought in the district now with the deep management component of the solution. We had to train them, we resource them, we've given them the training content. Every single one of our teacher centers have now been upgraded to resemble what a normal classroom looks like in the solution. So that the teacher training environment also resembles what the typical classroom looks like. And we then went into the integration material solution program. So we've been running supplementary programs on catering and school holidays. We now think that that kind of solution must take place in school business for ICT, so we deliver that. There were a lot of challenges. We found because we wanted to scale and deal with more teachers, it gets less personal. There were higher levels of influence from teachers, and that we had to deal with that. And to a large extent, we also found that the pace of our training teachers was a little too fast, and we had to slow it down. Our next sort of three phases, or next phase three, would be grade 11, during 16 and 17, grade 10 and grade 9 in 17 18, and grade 8 in 18 and 19, only high schools. And I think to a large extent, we can have covered all the high schools in this program. If we work with a range of departments, our regional department of finance, the infrastructure development, the department of basic education, the department of telecommunications and postal services, the TISA, all of them have representatives in our project management meeting, which are every Monday at 7 o'clock. And so we have lots of regular, we also got some provincial agencies, and we have municipalities folks coming in ready to the key challenges that emerged in the entire solution, I've got two slides left here, was the test of devices. Teacher laptops, learner tablets, and LED boards are starting to become a big test item in the school. And as a result of that, we've had to now bring in security as a new cost factor, and we had to put tracking devices on. So we're starting to see early recovery. In the LED boards, I think we had four that were stolen and recovered because of the tracking device, but it's an additional cost to the project. And then again, tablets for three cracks, and when we recovered them at the end of the year, a large number of them, over 64,000, almost 13,000, had some kind of damages that we have to now retain. And then connectivity challenges, there's no dedicated broadband. Our provincial department of e-government, which is responsible for the broadband, will deliver the connectivity to schools progressively. We've got 2,100 schools, their target is 100 in their phase one, which means it will take a very long time to get the coverage. The use of APN is costly. Because we need to work on Celsius, MTN, those kinds of solutions, and it's a megabyte. And then the change management issues, support at school level, adequate and relevant training, we need to deal with that, securing relevant content, but we still have problems with African management, and something that we've been focusing on, the buying of all stakeholders, and then the utilization of devices for right service. We found that in some instances, learners were taking the devices to the Vodacom support shop and having it refreshed. So that all our security software is taken off, and now we're actually working with those agencies to say anything that powers, there's no recession, we can refresh on our own. And then obviously, budget constraints, the budget constraints in the light of the current project, we need some dedicated funding, and then the retrenchment and education cost. Okay, we have five sort of high-level recommendations. One is that national and provincial treasuries understand the importance of the interventions and secure dedicated funding for the rollouts. The connectivity issues be resolved with all the relevant key stakeholders. You know, there are far too many government agencies in the terrain, we're not too sure who's responsible. At the development of content to support the national curriculum be prioritized nationally, and this goes beyond the thing. And then we need to secure teacher unions for the intensive teacher training that we expect of the agreed number of hours for the teacher. And then the last one is the curriculum community services needs to prioritize reported cases of care of devices in great cultural community. Because the big issue we find here is that when you do report your parents report up in children, data is not important and the rate is not in our campaign. And the main reason is being between the fact that the communication level. And so we need to at least have some kind of support around reaching the priority grant because it's not the importance that care is in the solution. Chair, on that note, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
that were connected exclusively, they don't also include the schools that they can't be computer, the computer to start the connection there. The second issue that I would like to raise is primarily with regard to the helping of the nominated schools. I just want to know where if the school is nominated and funds to be, for example, lack a sort of view beside it, or do you find ways after the school gets their computer to the presentation by self-care. I just want to know where the information with regard to charges and everything that Sabbatic school has impacted positively, positively, what is the component of public schools? I just want to know that. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to welcome the presentation to be part. My question is on this permanent provisional standing committee. What impact do they have in relation to this committee? And at what level are they out? In the issue of their problems of this school, what do they have to report to you on the question of Islamic pressure? Because in practice, in the school that will be defined that Islamic pressure is there. But in terms of the functionality, it's not as one can expect. And number two is the issue of the district IT specialists. Do we have this effect that are able to assist schools in terms they come to the problems of these ICT clashes and so forth? The last question is the issue of schools with no electricity, more especially in rural places like Bukumara, like Wazunaga, and Isenye. What is your view? Are you also connecting those schools?
Now, how are you doing with that?
There has been also, if you talk about digital connections on the previous decision of the president of the telephone, and obviously that's what's causing the delay in the implementation of network. But you know, do you have real time? Do you really need the network to be happening with the
teachers, what programs are in place for our teachers
they are in full service schools and office schools. And then to the Gauteng DBT, you were speaking about the program and some learners access the net to play games, etc., etc. What monitoring system do you have in place to ensure that this doesn't reoccur? Thank you very much.
And all the schools that have been connected
we know that the ICT is by assessing risk. And
I'm not convinced that that is the current situation.
I'm sorry, but I do believe that if we look at the network usage of the 2010 project, it's clear that some schools have connectivity, and we all have to have a very good understanding of what connectivity means. Does it mean Wi-Fi? Does it mean broadband? What exactly does it mean? And if we go beyond 20 gigabytes, what is it mean? We've already heard from Southwest Tech, it's a question of affordability. Because if it's equal to school, which is according to the size, it's not going to happen. Because the school, the majority of the school won't work. And that brings me to the second concern that I have, Jay. And that unwittingly that we are reinforcing the digital divide and the rural-urban split. If we look at the presentation before us today, that unfortunately pointed to that. What we see here is that again, those learners in the school, in urban areas, are more likely to be connected to this than those in the rural areas. And so it's not by the way of designing the model like that, but unless the department takes specific action to overcome this problem, we're not going to. Now, if we look at specific slides, I just want to give you a very good example of the question. If we look at slide 11 and slide 12 and 14 in the joint presentation, then it is very clear that the problems that we really face the challenges are more likely to be in the Eastern Cape again. Look at the number of schools that we use to resolve the Limpopo and Mpumalanga. If we look at the others, at least we can't be satisfied with the Eastern Cape 42%. But at least in some, in the free state, it's close to, well, it's moved beyond the 50%. So we're on the road there. Except in some of those that have been connected, have now been disconnected. So, now again, I'm very concerned because if we look at this split, there's a very significant challenge that we are facing. Look at the learner density project on slide 18. Again, what we see is the number of learners, obviously in Limpopo and Northwest is really just nowhere on the right. Northern Heritage is low, but if we look at number of learners, then obviously it's not just a highly populated class. What we should actually have here is percentage of learners in school, so that we can see where is the biggest challenge. But clearly, there is a problem that we face here. Lastly, Jake, actually I just mentioned it very briefly, was the issue of the access to the 20 gigabytes, which is for the schools to be funded. And I think that is where the challenge lies. Because if we look at the schools, it's clearly very, very poor community. They will simply just not be able to, and those schools could become the hub for the entire community. And my request and question to the department over to you is, in your design, are you making sure that those schools in fact become community hubs? Yes, it would pose additional risks, but if people could regard those schools as access points for internet, then they will also protect the investment that government is making in those schools so that the community and not only the learners can benefit from that after hours. Thank you very much.
Thank you for just extra to us before me, and I will be in trouble now. My colleagues have touched on the issue of security, but I think that one is a shared responsibility amongst all of us that we have got a responsibility to teach our communities, that they take ownership of each and every school, because they will be able to safeguard the schools if we do that. So I'm just appealing that be it in a church or in a sports field, if we can speak about our schools and how we're supposed to be safeguarding them, then I think we'll be moving in the right direction. Whilst we really appreciate that this ICT progress in school will make learning more interesting to our learners, and it will address the issue of dropouts, because you know, even from the poor of the poor, once you have a cell phone, so they can be able to access things on the cell phone. I'm more worried with the limitation of time on the internet, the 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening, because some of these learners, they used to study around 2 o'clock in the morning. They wake up and engage their studies. So if there's something that they have to dispatch on, and they cannot access internet on, I don't know whether that one could be there. Thank you.
For me, just few or one question, because I covered like the previous speaker. So my concern, maybe because I'm from the rural province, Northern Cape, my concern is in the rural research events that the previous speaker has said. I have a problem. There are places that do not have network, and they get these 2G cartridges, which are also slow. Can't we upgrade the 3G, maybe not 4G, to for the speed echoes them to be able, which is faster. Even the learners in urban areas, they don't want the 3G gadget. I'm speaking because I have one who I bought a 3G and told me, "Grandma, let her take it back. I can get 4G, but it's staying in town." And secondly, or the last one, is now on the also on rural and inclusive of learners with special needs. A leader has been mentioned on the impact of this ICT on learning for schools with special needs. I would like to know how then can you share with us how do you cater the special needs schools and educators and developing educators on the development to be able to catch up with the new technology. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Questions?
then first one, I think the implementation of the current it's here we've got an opportunity to get our operation officer to review how things have been done. Now, the challenge, which and what are the challenges or what the documents are now, what does this have as an impact on the GMP voting process to the animals, to the mobile area operation? Because if what I have there already said issues, they're already going on it. Now, when you go back and revise, maybe I'm going to cut on the issue. That's what you say. I'm saying they're not wait, please the instruction now. Or they are proceeding with the current implementation of 1,500 goods given to those, I think 1,000 exemptions and all the things, the safety and all that. What does that mean now with that solution? And the other issue that is very clear now, it's clarity in terms of health care, and I think something came into that. Because we find various issues, and I think it's even at times the issues of CSI. When you find people in particular company going to a school, they donate cash. It's just a donated job. It's not from the community. The donated job to the school. How do you manage that? How do you communicate to the public, to all companies? Why are they just not talking? How do you make sure they understand it? What is the quality of the school? The last one is finding short forms that are people now. But if you are to look at the level 35, this issue is not catered for. And I had informed you that talking about the 2 years. Now, 3 months by mobile network operator, we had 2 years by disaster. What happened? And it goes like on a machine talking about the issue of keeping the life of the country. Not only the lifespan, but the issue of facing the labor body. If not facing it becomes slow, it becomes rather we see that we could look at 2010 levels of the fund by Telecom. When after a particular time then the battery should be the G generation of the 30% of that. So those are the things that I feel of concern. That we might need to start rethinking because every time we are coming with a consolidation or having to register, but the first thing to fear. Do we have a concern? Or is it because it serves to collect the level? If we can contact the concern of the people for support, if it's with them one, then come to the other people. How do you provide the support? Do you have a call center that is a tool when the people have a problem with the economy? That's what. And are we having an intention to have a national content for all the schools for this thing? So that's why it goes to all the funds now. It means the two departments are going to go back and really get the funding. And I'm utilizing the schools budget for textbooks. It has been replaced for now. How are we doing this? For me, it's still not very clear how we intend to deal with the issue of funding and the support to the schools. So those are just two of the methods that I'm going to go.
But looking at the whole collaboration, both the organization families, I think giving almost all the honorable members the passion that you have. As a collaboration itself, when you mentioned before, this is that you were going to hear my question. Sometimes they don't know that CASA is not my name, but I'm sure they try to say CASA needs to wait and look at the final model. And this is that by the end of March, if ever I know they have been showing the interest of something that they can show that today, what is that they are waiting on, what is that they think people need to have an approval of something.
around you, just offer the intention to work for it. Just tell it to you. Slide 21. The fact that you've also never, and I'm hoping that you actually also refer to the slide, I marked it, but I didn't refer to it. And this was the one on the case that was made up of natural theory to receive 1.4 billion over a 3-year period. And we effectively received half that. But that case was made up for interconnection for 4,424 schools. But now it's been reduced to 1,244. Now, if it's only, if it's half that was received, why was the school component slashed to less than half? If we could just have a better understanding why that was so drastic. Thank you.
Honorable President, honorable members, we share the impression amongst ourselves. I will start contribute to that. I don't have a whole question, otherwise the other colleagues would come here and would be counted as similar to the same. Let me start from what the honorable about, which is also related to questions that I asked in terms of the funding shortfall. We've been told in no uncertain terms that we have to find funding within the existing budget. And I think that message is very clear. One of the sources of funding, Cherry, we've seen that the deployment of ICT is also associated with bringing some efficiency into the system. For instance, we are in discussions with Indian traders. Unfortunately, provinces that are running ahead, like Gauteng and Western Cape, might not have the full benefit of that, for obvious reasons that they are ahead. And for the rest of the other seven provinces to change up with that, they will have to get the maximum benefit of what might accrue from the discussions that we are having with the traders. One of the things that we want to do is to use our financial power to benefit, to maximize the benefits of the economies of scale, including the next we've been dealing with LTSM, and the next one is ICT. We are discussing with the chief procurement officer, the treasurer, that the next one should be the area of ICT. We also want to use money that is invested in the LTSS to move it to the deployment of ICT. How can the community successful in that? Increasing the UI that was appropriated from LTSM, how can it move it to ICT? And we believe that we use money appropriated for that for the seven provinces, I think, we should have that. Honorable Kubai, you are also right in terms of issues related to the lifespan of the country. That whatever procurement model that we engage in, must take that into account so that the crisis don't become obsolete and the end of knowledge. We would prefer an arrangement of getting into a model that allows you to replace the budget at the minimal cost over time. So there's a correctly pointed out, they become obsolete the minute you start deploying them. And therefore that so our strategy will have to take that into account. Currently in terms of role players, we are busy with finalizing our guidelines on the deployment and utilization of ICT in the sector, in fact 9+10 departments, which will help to guide the sector as to how to communicate even with other role players. We have staff regulations and we are advised by our legal experts that we must convert them to guidelines instead of regulations because there might be, you know, a double-edged sword. People can use them against us, but also they might be very difficult to negotiate in terms of implementation. So those guidelines should be to agree to guide the entire sector in terms of how ICT is read this on the name by saying that what does it mean with the target that our region is performing checks with the senior government targets, or that we can have the operation at CISA within discussing with the president of telecommunication and postal services that there might be a reconfiguration to renegotiate or in anticipation of the end period, then look at something different so that they are in line with meeting our own targets in terms of cooperation. Let me say up front, our intention is that by 2019 all schools should be connected, and we also linking capacity of teachers, which is what Honorable Davis also asked. Let's say timeline, which has been changed in the past as identified by the Council of Education Minister. But the timeline is 2019. Whether it's for connectivity, whether it's for capacity building, I like to keep capacity building so that we bring everything up to speed with the timeline of 2019. So the plan of operation practice is framed around the 2019 timeframe. And coincidentally, something also is moving along the timeframe. The impact of ICT on HANA, let me be hopefully truthful on this one. HANA and the National Senior Certificate. The experts are advising that we should be very cautious in looking at this because, you know, the improvement in learning outcomes can be accounted for by millions of things. And as far as connected on this out, the ICT is not the end, but the means to an end. ISA is a platform to enhance teacher competency, to enhance access to information. It's not the silver bullet. And in fact, when we were talking about a year or two ago, Microsoft indicated to us that they have conducted their test, which indicates that it would be in the best interest of any education system to use ICTs such as your tablet and even your laptops side by side with your traditional tablet. Because the two do not necessarily replace each other. You lose that to the detriment of the system. We saw that in EV as well. There are first world countries, they use ICT, but the textbook is still there to supplement, or maybe ICT is used to enhance, traditional there. I think this one was asked by Honorable Ndongeni today that are the teachers using the centers? Yes, indeed, Honorable members, they do use the centers, and even set a rate of the utilization of the centers. It started from very slow, it picked up quite a lot. The reason being that we believe that the best way to enhance the utilization of the centers is to place in there what teachers need most, particularly in terms of content. And it places an obligation on them to visit the center and even to find access in terms of the curriculum content that they require, and we make the content quite attractive to them so that there's some obligation for them to visit the center and to get access into the content. In terms of the age district, the criteria used, to the best of my knowledge, given the flip side that we've touched when we started with the presentation, and the issue that was also asked by one of the Kenya. One of the criteria is the attribute of the plurality of the area. The plurality of the area and the size of the district. And by the way, these districts are also about encapsulating a host of other services of government. It's about schools, it's about hospitals, it's about participation, it's about your local government services. Unleashing a network for ICT to enhance services like from various functions, not only education, not only take your point from a capacity point of view, you could do something to upgrade, you know, what is the existing solution with the energy like that. And you are right again, Honorable Basso, about health and school in your geographic rural area. From the Council of Education Ministers, we directed that these schools must be targeted, and I think it was also asked by other honorable members that what about the schools of learners with special education? And therefore, which means that these schools are going to form part of the core of schools that we cover in terms of, you know, rolling out ICT to the schools. I can only agree, Honorable Chairman, with Honorable Kosa, community ownership is very key. I mean, in countries like India, where you don't care about active poverty, you see, you smell it, you walk across it, it's all over. And ICT is placed in the present town and community community. And members of the civil society and learners, it becomes the height of activity for learners in the community. Instead of destroying it by gradually using both young and old, it's something that we need to cultivate in our country. I'm really not sure whether we ever reach a stage where we'll be able to provide full security facilities for every school. And we have to make difficult choices, whether we prioritize security or we prioritize other things that are going to help in improving the outcome. I must be woefully honest here. It's a huge challenge for us. And I think it can help us as to how we can go around the issue of dealing with security challenges. It's a problem for all of us, housing, everywhere else, to hear about gadgets that are stolen, and so on, which undermine what governments are doing. So community ownership, I think, is at the core of making a success in this time. And I agree, Honorable Kilian, that to repeat what the late Professor Kana Ahmad used to say, that schools must be centers of community life. We would like others to do that, to support access of the community into the school. Maybe we might have to do that also with the schools that we are connecting, including the teachers. But of course, taking into account the issue of the security of these facilities. But I also agree with you in terms of accountability and responsibility. Lying should not be bad. It must be very clear to who's responsible for what, so that when you come to the meetings, you hold us accountable in terms of the deliverables for each of the right functions, each of the organizations, and so on. But Honorable Kilian, maybe before you arrive, Mr. Bobeli did indicate that where we're coming from reflects the achievements that we have made, the rural urban divide. But what the point is that something to do now, even with the eight districts, is to use the notion of an executive government that draws investment where it's most needed. And only starting now, and we concede that previously that is not happening. Honorable Maseko, and you tell us to be able to help me. Honorable Sotedi, what are the incentives for teachers? Well, in terms of this specific project, any effort to find incentives, fail to say that as an individual to work in. You know, I think that the cool challenges like KZN and Limpopo, people go there, but they commute. They don't really stay in those areas. They go there and then come back and create other problems of punctuality, etc. And so, but the point is there. Well, Mackenzie, I've spoken about what I know from Microsoft in terms of success, but I'm sure Albert can say something. But as I said, you know, we need to be very cautious that I see really not a few of you, but an enabler. Is an overall driving forum, the forum which is constituted by the citizens that keep us on our toes. Literally every second month, with our minister we report every month, our minister in country. And apart from that, there are forums that I also consume with the DGs of the affected departments, etc. There's also a forum which is constituted by the digital directors, general important officials and so on. So we remain occupied with the task of ensuring that ICT does happen. Honorable Koza, I really responded to the notion of ensuring the security of the facilities and the rights and so on. Teacher centers are the accessible to the best of my knowledge they are. Those that I visited, I found them to be extremely accessible. And of course they will vary from one province to the other. One of the workshops targeting Norfolk schools is indeed as a proper policy, but I have responded to the issue of letters of special education needs, as well as romantic schools or schools that are found in the rural area. Teacher development programs for teachers, yes indeed. For instance, I do know that the center, which is in the housing programs, which is where we are, I think it's the IBS, if I'm not mistaken, it provides particularly for teachers and learners with special education. And it has special devices that are provided for teachers with special education. And we make sure that the teachers are mainly for those, and it's within those proximity of schools that can benefit who provide for them as a special education. Government and vaults will provide a list. I thought we did provide a list also. But we will provide a list so that when you visit your constituencies, you're able to visit this contract and do a walkthrough to check whether what you are talking about here that is present to you. That is I've addressed the issue of funding. Anyway, nonsense standards for school funding. The norms are revised, if I'm not mistaken, every year, every financial year. And the intention is that everything that is to do with the running cost of the school must be encapsulated within norms and standards. But I do take your point in terms of your experience of the mobile policy and so on. All that we need to do is that all provinces must implement the norms and standards. IT president on site, given our fiscal constraining challenges, I don't want to commit yet, Honorable Chair, but we will at a point reach a stage where, you know, every school has got an IT session. What we are looking for is some kind of a shared system that can serve a cluster of schools for startup. And then over time, in a fullness of time, and I don't know when that is going to happen, it might be generations to come, then probably you have an IT specialist for themselves. The training for teachers, have addressed that, is part of the updated and revised teacher development program. The self-assessment tool that Mr. Kalani talked about in his presentation is instructions that are being from the forum of the Prime Minister are really intended to coordinate or to make sure that we maximize the impact from sharing the resources that are available. Now, said before, I just conclude, I hope I have addressed the question raised by Honorable David. It was a key issue that the 74% that you correctly worked out is within the 2019 plan. And it's up to honorable members to hold that accountable over time. And 2019 is just around the corner. And I know that you oversight is one of the strongest committees that I've ever accounted to, you hold that accountable on this management of this. Higher education, you are getting right. It's much better than before, but the ICT field and all provided by ATI is in the main providing the ICT field, but not ICT field and knowledge for teaching. And we are meeting, we're meeting students with the universities where we'll be addressing this to them, including literacy and university, as the one and tertiary development program that they are running out. Including African, African language. Let me appreciate the education is very high in this continent. I don't want to do that, but I call it association of you. Thank you.
providers to come ask the telecom
Thank you. the issue about moving from CG to 4G and all of that. We are here by the previous time, the example that we have, predominantly 3G or 2.1 access to the process of 2G. But as mentioned, in special being the case, it will allow for the CG to 4G, it will be able to provide such high traffic.
Thank you, Chair. I'll hand through some of the questions because they tend to overlap. The issue of school infrastructure and the issue of function and school functionality, we've been very clear from the start that you can't put and modernize the classroom without dealing with rehabilitation. That is critical. And we only extend that, you know, due to the high demand of schooling in Gauteng due to migration, we've had to build mobile schools over a period of time. We had to replace the mobile classrooms with alternate construction as a way of protecting the new infrastructure. On the issue of district IT specialists, on our permanent establishment of the department, we have got 100 technicians that are employed to support schools. And that's a ratio of 1:3. And they are based in district offices, so they're quite localized. But we now we brought into an internship arrangement a further 200 that will be school-based. And they will then work in the classes of schools or in specific schools based on the level of rollout. They will work in a supervisory relationship because on an internship or an internship they need to be under supervisor. The 100 technicians will then act as a supervisor with those that we brought in at the internship level. We intend building clusters of service centers around clusters of schools in order to ensure that we can support them on an ongoing basis. At the same time, we do have a provincial call center facility that then deals with emergency calls from schools. When we train teachers on the use of technology, the first thing that we teach them is the lesson plan says use an electronic whiteboard with this kind of content and that. You all fail, use the textbook, use worksheets, and so on. So every teacher is going to have a backup to ensure that the time is not wasted. And that's part of our training. So you always need to have a backup. And to a large extent we've done that. In our full service, what we call a full service school where we've delivered all classrooms and all facilities, we have put in generators. So where every single classroom is already connected, not just a grade 12, in those schools we've got generators to ensure that they're back. And that is essentially maintained as well. So in a way we've dealt with that. The issue of unions, they're part of our life, and I think in a sense we have had to work with them. We've got no resistance. What is given you as part of our planning assumption that said, if you're going to do this, make sure that the union is buying. And it's very important because they in our case, they have assisted us in reducing the level of resistance in some of the schools where the teachers have very problematic over time. And that's where we've been able to build a good relationship with the union in that regard. The issue of tablets, so one of the things about what is the useful life of a tablet? The useful life of a tablet is not based on the date of purchase, but rather on the age of the software and operating system itself. And in the general market now, we can expect that the software on the tablet will be serviced for a minimum of 5 years. So it is very often that people believe that the lifespan of the tablet is 2 years because of commercial contracts with service providers. Every 12 months, 24 months, they want to lock into a new contract, and therefore they declare that the service is obsolete. But what we're very clear about is that we're moving towards some kind of an open source platform. and then clearly there is no limitation on the device other than wear and tear and damage and so on. And that would be the limitation condition. So I'll be just having a check about wear and tear. One of the things that we did very consciously is to roll it out progressively. And the reason we're rolling it out progressively is that when you start dealing with the replacement model, it will also kick in progressively. There is no way we can be saying that we need to replace in 1 year the whole lot. So every year there will be one grade that will be replaced between the protocol of the guy and the same. But maybe in 4 years' time, whenever we see bank will need to be paying money to change. And so we will keep in progress. I think the issue of ICT in special schools requires a bit more planning. And it's certainly because of the continuum of facilities in schools. You know, you cannot simply say you need tablets and so on. An example, for children that are self-teaching or part-teaching, you may have to get really certification. We need some pilots in schools where we have to buy like a mouse, a cursor mover that's on the head. By moving the head on the screen, they can actually move the cursor around. You need to start getting much more vocationally orientated software and equipment so that they can learn skills in the particular process. So it depends on the continuum, and because of that, you actually want to believe that you've got a really good principal and teacher, because remember that the minority of learners in special schools follow the best curriculum. The majority of them have programs designed that are individual to the point where you are teaching them basic survival. So you've got to get this continuum right, and it really takes good teachers to help you understand what is required. So we can find a lot of the sort of amazing kind of software and hardware for the basic things. You know, visually impaired, all of those kinds of things thrown into most of the software. I've figured on this computer, I can enable education, So those are things that are there. The issue is that it has to be driven by a program design and make sure that they are supporting the program design. It is very easy to dump technology in a situation thinking that it's going to solve a problem. It's not a question to a program and an educational program. The monitoring system, I think the DG has raised it very correctly. We also said there's no big bang solution that seems to be expected from the introduction. We also need the things to take hold in schools and to change the practice. One of the big things that have been failing in schools over time is transaction between the teacher and the learner. They don't connect. And you know, what we're trying to do through this process is to redefine what a transaction is that produces a successful learner. And so we've got to contextualize that the change will take a number of years before we start in higher grades. You know, there will be shorts in the game. In the high class two schools, we have set up a baseline study. And every quarter we compare it to the previous year. That's a different course. So if your study has to be very sophisticated, that if I'm comparing grade 6 results here in 2016 to grade 6 in 2014, it's certainly learned. And you can't measure that change. You can understand if a school is making a shift, becoming more optimally performing. But whether it's real changes in learning, you've got to actually design the study where you trace the learner. So you take the learner and say, this learner has been introduced to a IT in the year 2015, and you track whether that learner's survival in the school system could have been much higher as a result of the data. And those are the things where you would have to test them not so much on the curriculum, but on their position of issue and competence. I think the issue around teaching equipment in the home, one of the things we had to do during December, because of the large rollout and the risks that were emerging just before we started closing, one of the big risks that's emerging is the leaders. The tests are not taking tests. We must be very clear about it. That is why it's asking the police service to come on board. There are people who know that we've rolled this out. They know what market design is for. They know what the market design will be in homes because, I mean, just as an example, we put in LED boards that are for 4,000K specification. They're outside the country. They want this. you know that to refresh the unit, putting all the new content in the reach you again. So there's a lot of administration behind it. But I think the key issue is something that we don't expect teachers to be successful. I'll tell you why. Before we roll out this Canvas process, so we gave schools from Canvas, the principals who try to explain to you how to be utilized, they have copy brand new units so that our local school. Nobody's going to steal second hand units in a hurry unless they're really desperate. But it's new units that are unused, it's called marketing. And so we want this thing to be used. And so the more it changes, the less the chance to be stolen. I think the issue around the use of tablets is complicated. The use of tablets exclusively is not a solution. That we know up front. And maybe put it into context, that's the reason why we did not introduce tablets in the primary school. We still believe that basic literacy and numeracy writing skills are essential in the primary school phase. And we will protect the primary school. It's actually the foundation base. So we are highly teacher-based teaching curriculum with all the teachers. We will try to enhance the class. But that will be a focus on the primary school. And then I think the issue of liability, we've assumed some responsibility for the management of the asset. We are currently modifying the LPSM policy of the department, where we will now make this asset of the school. And by making it the asset of the school, the education becomes responsible. And in that way, it is a shared responsibility. We also provide the backup storage and all of those things. The primary issue of having to make sure that, I mean, why should we at the end of the year discover that the capital was missing from the 7th month of the year? That's the first principle that an obligation to report it, because someone's going to be tracking it. And as long as they can give our answer, they don't pay. So we don't make it there. And they've got then the responsibility for it. Yeah, we have covered it.
Such as software of 3D image verification for and that when ICT are not supposed, they need to meet the second question was around 26% of our teachers are basic ICT skills, and the member of the team charges that by 2019 we change all the teachers. Operational teacher emerged with very robust targets and initiatives that spoke about every learner in the system. They spoke about every teacher in the system. And our engagement with the minister and Chancellor Ham, the language has to change a little bit. So they, instead of saying every learner, we now launch to say every school. Instead of saying every teacher, we'll say every school. Meaning by 2019, every school has a teacher to be trained. It may not be a full complement of teachers, but if you know the two teachers that you have been attracted, that when you roll out activities, you identify two teachers and they become champions. The number that will be increased to about 20% of staff must be trained. Before, by the end of 2019. Like the DG indicator that we're talking about connectivity, we are saying every school by 2019 must be connected. Operational system emerged with targets with regard to the type of speed that must be in place by a certain time. Like we must be at 1 gig, we must be at 10 gigs, we must be at 100 megabytes. And these targets are not in line with the targets that are set by SA Connect, for instance. We are in constant engagement led by the Director General with the Department of Telecommunication and Post Battery to see how we can meet each other halfway. So lastly is around the issue of the investment in the role that the Director General spoke today. Operation Batista recommended that we need to develop knowledge summits for ICT teacher training that serve our type of competencies and skills a teacher might manage with our university. That when they enter the teaching space, we must not begin by retraining them. Our concern should be around the teachers who are already in the city, but not the ones who will be entering the city. They must come already equipped with an ability to integrate ICT in their teaching practices. Like digitally, they have computer skills to switch on stuff, but in terms of using the devices and the software to deliver the curriculum, they don't have the skills. But we learn the long-term standards, and that is one of the key outputs of practice.
Thank you.
and so the cutoff effect is one of the considerations or options that we've been looking at now, just to get sustainability issues resolved for the obligation tools. It can help to broaden the obligation that has been imposed on the organs. And by bringing it, I mean that once the code has been allocated to an operator, we then say to the operator, it is your responsibility to keep the school connected. If there are maintenance issues, support issues, payment issues, down the centers that are connected, it is your responsibility for the duration of the license to then ensure that the school remains connected. So that's the option that I'm going to take. And we think that will probably go to the way in that case in the constraints that are currently in the relation of discussions and use. But as part of this consideration, we are also mindful of the fact that this then borders the regulatory binding on the office. So it means that while previously the obligation only went to a kind of act, now we have to watch that increases their cost. And we then need to consider whether there are other areas where we can provide them relief to offset the increased spending that we tend to put in. And then that is the question that we have to do with the transition process, that's all the transition process we have. And we're consulting on the Department of Telecom, the implementation, and Department of Communication, to make sure that we send the to make sure that some of the solution that is the most optimal. But as you see here, there is no balance solution yet, but there's a consideration on the table, and then we will make a decision in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the management question. There's two questions both for you, but I think the first one is around the call center where you guys have been own call center. I think that area is the area we want to work with there some on the national call center. Then for the same reason we talk about the integration and application of the resources as well. I think that is rather hope for that. Then there was another question around whether what happens with in terms of schools and schools that have no electricity, what would we do that? I'm not the comment that out of the six districts, what we've done installation today, we would not entire that problem, but it could happen. And I think it is something that is similar to think that in our first matter to say what would we do in that situation. Especially, I'm now looking at the Northern Cape and far the most area of the and all our kind of what could we do in that situation. And there's a lot of options of solar and so forth. But I think it's been that sort of discussion and for us to come to a solution. Okay, it's going to be that part. Okay. The other area that I was spoken about, I think what we just said, where the DPG and also the DPG education, this is the area of accountability. And then the different stakeholders, how they sort of what their responsibilities in relation to projects. I think something that we have to look at and set a strategic approach to this in terms of what's the level of accountability, what the finishes, involved and so on. So at this stage, I believe it's about the plan that we think about it. And then there was a question around the community centers, digital community centers, and there was the idea made about what was other motivation for them to go into the whole demand in space and so forth. I think the DG Carter was so right when he made a lot of things. And really, I think we need to learn from that model and see how the disaster we can actually draw that in a lot of that experience. And, because, the basics, if we put problems in some area, we need to make sure that the capacity that we put there, whether people are actually right or whatever, it's actually not maximum. And so we want a situation where 2 percent is over. So I think you can sort of keep that in the last, and again, not to take away said, you know, I mean, those committee up and making committee guidelines, and also the SMEs and programs, communicating on that and so on. You know, some of the levels,
I didn't hear the response to the question around the parent.
issue of making of schools, I didn't want to, but maybe if you have not responded appropriately, I take full responsibility for that. As part of the team, we will address the question pertinent. Let me profusely apologize for that. For second, it's just simple. It's not correct. I know that people take serious offense if you take any help there. And not respond and pertinent to the question that they raised. So, I think, Chairperson, maybe let me request the members of the team, the one about the budget is very specific. Maybe what we might have to do is to come back, particularly on Operation Makisa, and just say the figures. To say these are the figures, and these are the sources of funding where we are going to be funding these various activities that are indicated on Operation Makisa. And here is that we might be responding from different line functions, but I think the best thing would be provide everything response so that members can just evaluate that.
The issue of parents, they absolutely critical in the process. So over the last 5 years in Gauteng specifically, we've been running a parental education program for parents in local schools to assist their learners to cope with the workload. Parents are taught everything from how to feed your child the correct food to how to make sure that your child goes to school with the right lunch, how to interact with the parents, as well as the teachers about your child's progress and so on. So we've been doing the parental education program. We targeted close to 500 or 600,000 parents over the last 5 or 6 years. We have now modified this module to include the ICT. And we will now start going back to schools to get the parents to understand it. But when we identify a school for ICT roles, we have not only a parent meeting, but we have a community meeting around the school, that everyone understands what the nature of the intervention is that school needs and to get broader buy-in. So we then train the parents. What we can't do is now become responsible for training parents in ICT. But we do train them on the basic ideas of how to manage the time of the learner at home. So we have given parents when the learner has a right to privacy, password control, not from the parent. The parent has the password and can override it if the learner changes their password. And parents need to know what their children are doing. So we're working that and we make sure the parents understand those particular components. So we've made it a key to our strategy. So when we decided to roll out, for example, when we went to the 375 local schools in grade 12, we had meetings with the entire core of school government bodies, then with the principal, then with the teachers, and then with the general parents in the specific areas. And that is the model that we're building in all the time. They need to understand that in that particular area. As we learn more about this, we will modify the module on the parent education program. But we have got a dedicated parent education program, and it's part of our provincial summit to continue that. So we think it's important that the parents understand the demands of the curriculum and the school and how it's located within the framework. I'll try to deal with the issue of budget on where we're sitting in provincial departments. We went into a reprioritization exercise. So I'll give you categories of where the money came from. We may not be able to get to the final figure, but this is the logic of where we are. So firstly, the refurbishment of schools is part of our infrastructure budget. It's not a need. So if we were going to spend 400 million rand on the rehabilitation of schools, we're going to spend 400 million rand on rehabilitation of classrooms to the required standard. Secondly, we then said we needed to focus on the issue of child
We had a budget to support the rollout of CAP. Now that we've rolled out CAP, we've been back to the mentioned team. We've reprioritized half of their budget to deal with the key content and the results. The third element was that we always had a e-learning function in the department. This is both human resources as well as integration budget for bringing our teachers to integrate. We then got a special allocation of about 22 million from our provincial treasury for smart schools. And then gave us a budget of about 25 million rand for the specific elements. The next element was on teacher training. We've got a budget for teacher training, only being taken the same budget, approximately 40 million rand, and we still mark needs for teacher training specifically. But how should change all the other training that they need to be done? The next element was then around devices of connectivity, all of those things. We've been, over time, in spending money on interventions to improve learner performance as a way of compensating for bad teaching in classes. And what we say is that if we continue this way, we are creating a parallel education system because the teachers are not teaching and we are providing supplementary programs. We can take a large portion of the money from there and put it into this internal study. If we cut down on this type of intervention and invest in this intervention, we can get it. And then our provincial treasury, as a result of our previous intervention, gave us a further 200 million rand for those kinds of devices that we're connected. And in total, we have reprioritized 1 year in the region of 1.1 billion rand from the existing money plus the 250 million that came from treasury. And what we are saying is that it's about hard choices and it's about compensating and reprioritizing within the intervention budget in order to make sure that we can close off. So we're hoping for hopefully the review will get that treasury to get what we had to do in the process, that we had to limit the concept of the solution to what is within the affordable budget. In our first 5 class 2 schools, we put anti-static flooring, all of those kinds of things. In the next version, when we really realize we can go to scale, all we need is we put an anti-static panel where teacher is, not all classes. So those are the kinds of compromises we need in the available budget. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for sharing. I think it's important that we go to making to really note the progress that has been compared to where we were almost 2 years ago. In 2014, we decided to have rejoined the team and this has been excellent. In a week or so, you know, we will see our end date. This is a good thing that we started with today. Now, there's still quite some of the things that we need to follow up on. And I think this is already very clear that the issue of cost communicating is not happening more than once. Because if the cost to communicate or the cost of that administration time makes it difficult and unavailable for this type of project to be rolled out. Now, the ICT policy review becomes more and more pertinent as we go into the meeting each week to show that that provision of that ICT policy. So that we can see the implementation of these projects such as this. So it's very important that we also do this in the context. Question question, I think just in terms of the implementation of the associated is to emphasize that as you come to the committee for instance in the manner that the response questions that other people might not be experienced in GO with probably communities and other friends. And I think the DG tries to follow the behalf of the colleagues and most of this we don't have to specific attention to really people. I think it's a question when we interact with the public community to understand in a manner that you really with all of the members in the community. for the lab to have. The other two functions that we have been doing work is for the several years set up on which we have moved the issues that are used for the work that is capacity and the work that is capacity in the niche group that is for the interior that is there. And the issues about the funding of the law. It's very clear, not that we still concern what people said on the issue of national support for that, that is the people who need more than the political but also, we are not going to get funding from the different institutions. I think the funding of the law, the funding of the institutions, the education system, the kind of the natural institutions,
Oh, okay.